You know, it looks like a very funny question, because individuals will say, what do you mean by why do we pray? I mean, if there's a problem, I pray about it. If something, I mean, I grew up to learn to pray over food, so that the food, I don't know, maybe the food will not kill you or something, but I just grew up to pray over food. You grew up to pray in the morning and things like that. But at no time was I taught, when I was younger, that very fundamental reason why we pray. You know, last year we shared on when we don't pray. Now let's look at why we pray. Now there are scriptures that readily address what we pray for. For example, Mark 11:24, Jesus said that what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. The same thing was in Matthew 21:21-22. Believe that you receive them and you shall have them. In Matthew 7:7, it says, ask and you shall receive, seek you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened unto you. So readily we have things we pray for. And if you do a short study of the Bible, you discover that the tone of prayer changes as you go into the epistles. Have you observed that before? That you almost have not a scripture for praying for things in the epistles. You will have to squeeze certain verses. You say, okay, maybe Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, with prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. That will almost be the way you run to that one. You can say, okay, 1 John 5:14, open-ended statement. You see, this is the confidence that we have in him. Whatever we ask according to his will, he hears us. And if he hears us, we know that we have the things desired of him. So you can squeeze that. But it's not express. You can also maybe look at maybe how Paul prayed for the church at Philippi. My God shall supply all your needs. You know, according to his glory by Christ Jesus. You know, you look at that. 3 John 2, I wish above all things. But you see, when you now see, when you look at the plethora of instructions to pray, you will hardly find the same reasons in the four Gospels. When Paul, all the opening prayers of Paul, whether you read the Colossians prayer, where he spoke about being filled with the knowledge of God and all his honor, wisdom and understanding, or you pray the Philippians prayer that says that you may abound in all judgment, discernment, you know, in increasing the knowledge of God. You won't find the same reasons in the four Gospels. Or you look at 2 Thessalonians 3:1-2, that the word of the Lord will run a free, will have a free course and be glorified, as you see that will be delivered from all reason for wicked men, for all men have no faith. You will see that it's different from what you had in the four. Are you following what I'm saying tonight? So things just changed. Okay? Or you want to read the Ephesians prayer. You have to understand that Elijah, you know what his hope is calling. And you read that and you see that it still does not address things that we have in common. And that brings my attention to the fact that Jesus said in Matthew 6. He said, you see, whatever needs you have. He says, the Gentiles have the same needs. He said, and your heavenly Father knows you need those things. He said, and they seek after those things. Are you following this? So, things everybody will pray for. Or you want to read the Hebrews 13 prayer, you just discover that the tone of prayer changes in the epistles. The tone of prayer just changes. The focus of praying for things or asking which one of you being evil will your child ask you for fish. And you know, that tone just changes as you enter the epistles. Which is, and the epistles was written to men born of the Spirit of God, or about them. The epistles were written for people who are children of God, who are found in Christ. So you come at the prayer points changed. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching unto all perseverance for all the saints. You see, the things just changed as you get into the epistles. And you and I know that if there's anywhere we derive our prayer life from, it ought to be where? It ought to be where? So that the tone of prayer changes. So that will lead us, you know, what I said we're talking about was, why do we pray? Why do we pray? In James 1:5, if any lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives unto all men liberally and upbraids not. If you look at the context of James 1, it was talking about prayer in the midst of trials. That's what it was talking about. In the midst of trials. Now, quickly, let's now look at Jesus, because it's important that we follow Jesus in his prayer life. We follow Jesus in his prayer life. Because there's someone we read of in the scriptures who spent quality time in the place of prayer and supplication, that was Jesus. What was he praying about? Why was he praying? This is God who became flesh and dwelt amongst us, John 1:14, anointed of the Spirit, Luke 4:18, Acts 10:38. So, what was he praying about? What was the prayer point? What was the issue? Why was he praying? Let me say this, and it's going to put this on your mind. Prayer itself is more important than the things we get from it. Let me ask you a simple question. How many of you know there are things you pray for and you get by prayer that some other people don't pray about? Oh, let me repeat myself. There are some things you pray for that you will get, that results you get, some people will have it, in fact, they already have it. Okay? So that shows you it is not the thing itself that is the uttermost importance, but the prayer itself. Because there are things you pray about, and some people have it already. Or some people can even get it without prayer. It makes some folks now assume that prayer is a needless venture because they are stupid people. When you travel to Europe, people get these things without prayer. They miss the point on why we pray. I was watching someone talking, a certain preacher. He said that where people are praying, some people have oil wells. And I said, do you do to get it? It's not about oil wells. It's not about oil wells. So pay attention to this. Why do we pray? Now look at Matthew 17. Are you learning something? Look at Matthew 17. You know, Jesus, when he told the disciples, seek ye first the kingdom of God and righteousness, and all the things shall be added unto you. I've explained it to you. He didn't say seek the kingdom so that the things will be added unto you. The things will be added unto you whether you seek the kingdom or not, because the Gentiles seek those same things and they get it. Is somebody following what I'm saying here? So, why do we pray? Prayer in itself changes things. Prayer changes circumstances. When you pray, circumstances change. But listen carefully, and I want you to listen to this very well. If you have not heard anything, hear this one. The most important thing that prayer changes is you. If prayer does not change you, you have lost the meaning of prayer. Prayer must change you. Say, prayer must change me. The reason for prayer is more about us than what we are praying about. Should I repeat myself? The reason for prayer is more about us than what we are praying about. Prayer changes circumstances, it changes situations, but most importantly, prayer ought to change you. Look at Matthew 17. Here's Jesus. He takes his disciples, Peter, James, and John. The Bible says in Matthew 17 verse 1, and after 6 days, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John, and his brother, and brings them up into an high mountain apart. Don't ever let anyone trivialize setting apart for the Lord. If anybody trivializes it for you, okay, be wary of that person. Anyone who trivializes fasting, be wary of that person. Anyone who, someone say, I don't do retreats, I advance, whichever one, just set time apart. Say, we don't do retreat, we advance. I can see it all over you that you're advancing. He took time apart. As a minister of the gospel, there must be times in your life that you go apart. Life has its own challenges. It has its own drudgery. There are so many things that, just step out like this, sin comes at you. Am I making sense? Life has its own pleasures. There's nothing in that world that is designed to make you an effective Christian. You didn't hear me? There's nothing that is designed to make you an effective Christian. So, if Jesus could go to a mountain apart, let me ask you, did he have a house where he could pray? Talk to me. Did he have places where he could have stayed and prayed? Why did he have to go apart? What was it that made Jesus go away from everybody? It's not that the prayer becomes more effective when you go. It's not that it's when you now come to WCC that God hears you, or when you go to a place. You are missing it. What that does changes you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Am I making sense here? It changes you. How many of you know you need to change? Raise your hand. You know, I need to change. You need to change. So, first of all, realize that one of the ways, a vital way that you can change is prayer. Prayer changes you. Years ago, I had a reason to go abroad. And the reason was that, I think it was over 20 years ago, there was this persecution that came at me. I couldn't believe it. That I could practically buckle. And so, I had given up. I said, well, I thought I was saying, I can't give up ministry. I'll just run away. I'll go abroad and go and school. You know, and leave all the folks around. And I decided, I decided not to pray about it. How many of you know that you do that purposely because you know that the minute you pray about it, it will change you? I don't know what I'm talking about. You know the minute you pray about it, it will change you. And even you know that the prayer will alter your direction. You will have known. So I decided not to pray about it. I just ignored it. Then one day, as I started praying, interestingly, it was, I think, a day or two before I would finalize my traveling. As I started praying, I walked to my mother. I said, I'm not going anywhere again. She said, something we were celebrating. I said, I'm not going anywhere again. Why? Prayer will change you. So tonight, tomorrow, the most important object of that prayer, God you are praying to, you are praying about nations, is you. Something about your desires will change. Things that you have as priorities, prayer resets your priorities. Am I making any sense here? We often believe that Nigeria is a praying church. I always ask a question. Go and see what they are praying about. There's, in many places, it's not any different. You see, well, things are changing. It's not any different than, there was something I saw I don't know whether I put it on social media, where I saw the testimony of CMS when they came to Nigeria. And the things they said they saw about how people will go to idols and talk about problems, they want children, they want marriage, and they will just go there and all that. And a missionary said that the difference now is that they are doing the same thing in church. That there has been no change in the people's pursuits. It's just how they pursue it or where they pursue it. Am I making any sense here? Maybe I'll share that except with you before we close. But so it's key. And that's why one of the things that some of us are battling, we are battling because we were also part of it, is materialism in the faith. Is a major issue. You are almost against an entire empire. So prayer is not just about what you are praying about, as much as it is there. Prayer is about you. So Jesus took that time apart. And that was not the first time. I know that was not the first time. He did it so, I'm wondering. Because we're coming to that, I'm wondering, Jesus was going to be baptized by John. And he was going to be baptized by John, and Jesus is praying. Praying about, is he praying about the water? What was he praying about? No. Maybe the question should be, why was he praying? Am I making sense here? We have put our attention more on what was he praying about. Now, why do we pray? He's going to be baptized by John, and scripture says he was praying. We have so much thought prayer about things, and we have not thought prayer itself. Someone follow me tonight. Why do we pray? You as a minister of the gospel, why do you pray? I had a man of God say this years ago, and I laughed about it. Later I laughed at my stupidity and foolishness. He said, all of us, we just be spending time praying, that all we need is just somebody giving the money, and then they will take care of this auditorium. And I went, ha, 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 ha. And I said, no. That man got it wrong. The truth of the matter is that we can actually get someone to put down money. But that is not why we pray. Hallelujah. Follow this now. He took them apart. And the Bible says it was transfigured. Now go to chapter 26. Assuming we read about Jesus' prayer life before, maybe the first 1 year of his ministry, we can say, well, he's praying because there's a recession in Jerusalem. He's praying because of issues. Maybe he's praying because of something. But now, he's praying at the very last day of his ministry. Which other time should you stop praying? At the very end, he's now praying almost more aggressively. I don't know whether that got your attention. I thought that should be when he will stop praying. Because he has gotten to the end. But that was when we saw almost the most intense prayer of Jesus. Is somebody following what I'm saying here? So Matthew 26. Here's Jesus in verse 36. They got to a place called Gethsemane. Again, they got to a place. He took them apart. Can you see it is consistent with Jesus to go apart? Who is saying what I'm saying here? Let me see your hand. So let me just advise you. As a minister of the gospel, don't be too busy not to go away. Did you hear what I'm saying? It's not that, we what people say, God is everywhere. It's not going to one place. It's within you. I'm going to keep quiet. Keep quiet. It's not about God now. It's about you. That going apart handles you, deals with you as a person. Some folks are not here today. They'll say they have meeting. Somebody say, some person say it's a pastor. It's a pastor. The day you fall ill, you know that you miss church and there will be church. Abi? Sure. There will be church. Years ago, I broke down just a few days, weeks after my wedding. I really broke down. They took me to the hospital and they checked everything. The doctor said, there's nothing wrong with you. Your system has just failed to work. I mean, this is worse than sickness. It's, so I sat there and I said, the most funny thing was that, the funniest part was, he said, well, if you're moving from this theater to another theater, they have to use wheelchair. I said, ha. He said, that's how they move within words. So after a while, I went to a family doctor. I have to preach. The doctor looked into my eyes, just looked at this. So, young man, if you leave this, your house in 2 weeks. Yes, that goes into your head. Yeah, it's true. And how do you know it's true? You saw your experience now. You fell down. So if this man is telling you, it makes sense. So I have a program preaching somewhere. Keep quiet. How old are you? You will preach. You will keep preaching. Preaching. What is preaching? You will preach. People need preachers. If I saw all the churches that they are starting today, they need preachers. They are pastors, but they need preachers. I mentioned no names. So, he went apart. So look at this. Again, he goes apart. So prayer is really about you. He goes apart, and the Bible says, he said unto the disciples, sit here while I go and pray yonder. Can you see that at this moment he leaves his disciples? He goes away. Then he took the sons of Zebedee and it was heavy. He began to pray. Then he says, look at verse 38. My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry here and watch with me. The word watch in the original language is to be alert. That is like a watchman. He uses this statement and Paul mentions the same thing in Ephesians 6:18. Be alert about what? So, prayer keeps the believer alert. Do you know that there was no prayer point in this time? Are you following what I'm saying? There was no prayer point. There was not a single thing we can point at that he was praying about, but he was praying. He said, watch with me. He said, tarry here. Stay. Why would he use stay? It means it will demand endurance. He said, tarry here and watch with me. Then the Bible says, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. So what was the prayer doing? It was affecting who? Who was the prayer affecting? Please raise your voice. Who was the prayer affecting? Jesus. So he comes back. Now, imagine this. He now comes back to his disciples. Who, like many believers today, they were already sleeping. You know, when there was a problem in Mark 4, they were not sleeping. Many of us can keep awake when there's a problem. How many of you would hear that there are thieves in your neighborhood? That's how you will know that you have the spirit of endurance. Is it not true? And you'll be alert. If you have been in an airplane and there was turbulence, you see how people are just alert. As though that would do anything. Are you following what I'm saying? Oh, yeah, go, 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 everybody. If it was a problem, people can stay awake. Or you heard. Or you have an exam. I mean, you know what I mean. You're a student. The next day. And then they roll out for the private school, state schools. The day before the exam, they now roll out area of concentration that the man never taught you. Your final year, final semester. And like some people, you have already torn your shirt. So, do you know that you will learn to keep awake? You just stay, you'll be reading. Some of you will now go and buy coffee plus cola nuts. That's dying. Say, I can't sleep. Why? Because you saw a reason for it. But these guys are already sleeping. So he says, guys, he's all folks. He says, could you not watch with me for 1 hour? So pay attention now. Did he give them any prayer points? Huh? So what were they praying about? No. Why were they praying? Who's following what I'm saying tonight? Like, I don't know what I'm getting this. It's no longer what they were praying about. It's now what? Why? They are praying to watch. And when you pray this way, it affects you. It affects your sensitivity. It affects your spiritual sensibilities. It affects you. There has been no power problem. There has been no faith problem. There has been no glory problem. If there is a problem, it's a prayer problem. Let me repeat myself. There is no power problem. There is no faith problem. There is no spirit problem. If there is a problem at all, it will be a prayer problem. A prayer failure. Are you following this? If there is a church, it will be a prayer failure. Say, can you not tie with me for 1 hour? Look at this. Watch and pray that you enter into not into temptation. Can you see that now? That is, prayer prevents poor performance. Am I making sense here? If anything, listen carefully, if anything should ever go wrong, let it not be from your prayer life. If you see yourself having strange desires, strange things, go and check your prayer life. Because prayer changes you. So watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. So prayer prevents poor performance. If you have seen yourself entertained on the pulpit, go and check your prayer life. It stems from lack of prayer. If you are seeing yourself becoming a motivational speaker overnight, all of a sudden you are now particular about this excellence. You are go and check your prayer life. If you have seen yourself, go and check your prayer life. Watch and pray. Lest you enter into, because the spirit indeed is what? Willing. But the flesh is. So prayer deals with your appetites. Spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. And what was Jesus talking about? He said, not my will, but your will be done. So, Jesus' prayer was affecting his fulfilling God's will. What if Jesus never prayed? You can never imagine the consequences. He'll be healing the sick, raising the dead. But what if he never prayed? Write this down. Prayer defeats the flesh. You do hear that? Prayer defeats the flesh. It weakens the appetite of the flesh. You are dealing with the flesh. Don't forget, it's not about what you are praying for, it's why you are praying. What prayer does to us is far more than the things that we get. What prayer does to us is beyond earthly benefits. Let me see if I follow what I'm saying tonight. Are you following this? What prayer does to us. Look at Luke 22. Luke's account was very instructive. Luke 22 and verse 40. Pray that you enter not into temptation. So, prayer prevents failure. If there is a problem, if there is a failure, it's not a faith failure, it's not a power failure, it's not a spirit failure, it's a prayer failure, because prayer is your own participation. It's your participation. Listen to me. Teaching about prayer is not prayer. Talking about prayer is not prayer. Being in a prayer meeting is not prayer. Hearing about prayer is not prayer. Speed is fire to pray is not prayer. It is not prayer until you are prayed. You didn't hear what I just said? It's not prayer until you prayed. Knowing the Greek word prosokuma, this is it, this is supplication. Is it this is prosokuma? I teho. So, pistis aitero, this is prosokumai. You have still not prayed. That's why people that know little, right, experience the success of prayer than those who know so much, and it's their knowledge that is making them not pray. So I say, now in Christ, we just receive. You know this mosquito theology? We just receive. Just receive what? Receive what is yours in Christ. You see something is yours, you are receiving. Your grammar has a problem. Something is yours, is yours. You don't, is yours. Yours. We have it already. And someone says praying always. So receiving always what is yours always. You are tired. Are you there? The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Jesus. And he prayed like he never knew God. Is that not true? Look at his prayer life. So you'll be praying, say, Raghava, Gigi. Put your hands on your pocket. In your pocket. Says knowledge. Knowledge. See Jesus. Verse 44. Let's start from 41. He was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and praying. Some people don't know how to kneel down and pray. We all be in a church like this. We say, we humbly bow. I said, you just stand up like this. Don't you understand English? Is English your problem or there's a problem with your knees? We humbly bow and you stand like this. We humbly bow. You must have failed SSE. Hallelujah. There's some men of God, some pastors. Well, there's a pastor's worship. You are pastoring God too. He knelt down. That is God in the flesh. Watch this. Look at verse 44. Let's take verse 44 together. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. What was the agony? What he was going to fulfill. And he prayed more earnestly. Was he praying to stop it? No. He was praying to prepare himself to fulfill the will of God. Listen to me, World Changers Conference participants. Besides praying for the nation, the reason why you pray from now till Monday is to prepare yourself. Do you understand what I'm saying? For the will of God. Some in that will of God may be nice. Some won't be nice. Are you following what I'm saying? Some may not be comfortable, some will be comfortable, but the most important thing is that you are prepared. Did you hear what I just said? Now, look at what accompanies agony. It's not just agony, it's just, glory, glory. That's not the agony. See the agony. Because whose glory is that they are tired. Look at this. The Bible says, and blood. Great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Do you think he prayed like this? Oh, brother, thank you for the righteousness of God. I give you praise, my Father, because you always hear me. When he said you always hear me, that was not where he prayed. He had prayed before that time. Are you following what I'm saying? It was the prayer that prevented poor performance at Lazarus' grave. Do you get it? Put your hands. And tongues are so spoiled, some of us. He's not saying anything again. I see somebody pray, I don't put out grass. It's also tongue. Look at this. And when he rose up from prayer, he was come to his disciples. He found them sleeping for sorrow. He said unto them, why are you sleepy? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. I know they entered into it. They all ran away. It's not funny. Prayer prevents poor performance. Prayer makes the teaching of the word revelation to the hearers. Prayer makes the ministry of the Spirit beyond public performance and display. Prayer situates the man praying in the center of God's will. Hear this well. Prayer prepares you for the tasks ahead. The good times. The bad times. The not so convenient times. How many of you know that in the will of God there are things that are not good? Oh, sorry. Let me say it again. There are some things that are not nice. Paul, he was going to Asia and then they saw a vision that said, do not go. You would think that that do not go meant that there's problem, don't go. Then when there was not a man from Asia, come. You know, the result of that prayer, the result of going was that they now ended up in jail. Are you following what I'm saying here? Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work where I have called them. And Paul was stoned and taken for dead. In that, separate me. I was talking to someone the other day, and he was using some scriptures about Paul to address herself about the challenges he's facing at work. I said, those scriptures are not for your problems at your office. Every time Paul says that cast down but not forsaking, it's not your emotional torment from your boyfriend that broke your heart. No. He's suffering for the gospel. That's what he was talking about. Are you there? For the gospel. It has nothing to do with your emotional disposition. So, prayer it prepares you for the good times, the bad times. When I say bad times, I mean the natural. There are things that will be inconvenient and you are in the will of God. Are you following what I'm saying? The Bible says Jesus was led by the Spirit of God to be tempted of the devil. Is that not in your Bible? Huh? So it prepares you. Watch this. The most important thing about prayer is that it puts you in the will of God. As you pray, you fellowship. Are you following this? You fellowship. And it strengthens you. Prayer can never prevent persecution. Prayer can never prevent persecution. Prayer can never prevent temptation. But prayer will prevent you from entering into it. Are you following this? Are you following what I'm saying here? Prayer cannot stop bad times. But prayer will make you go through it strengthened. Hallelujah. And you will come out with testimonies of victory. Who is following what I'm saying tonight? So prayer works more on you. You. So, as we labor in the place of prayer, as we stay in the place of supplication and prayer, what we are staying on the more is about us. You and I. And I trust God as we spend time today till Thursday, our lives will change. Our priorities will change. Our focus will change. Our desires will change. The way we see everything will change. That's what prayer does to you. That's what it does to you. That's what it does to you. Are you listening to what I'm saying here? Acts 13:1. Talked about Antioch. There was Paul, Barnabas, and certain prophets. And scripture says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas, and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. We don't have a prayer voice. But they were praying. We don't have a prayer point. But they were praying. We don't have a prayer point. But they were praying. Follow this. And when they had fasted and prayed, and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. And being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. A key thing there is that they minister to the Lord. When you are ministering to the Lord in prayer, His needs are your needs. God has needs today. The souls of men, the lives of men, will now become your portion. In the place of prayer, you begin to carry God's burdens. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying? You begin to carry His burdens. The things that affect Him begin to affect you. So your life begins to change. The songwriter says, when the things that surround me, they become shadows in the light of you. Hallelujah. You now begin to fellowship. You now have what is on your heart. You probably started praying about maybe something about your job or your family or your marital decisions. But by the time you enter into prayer, the focus just changes. How many of you have seen that before? Are you following what I'm saying? Then you are no longer around the things you set out to pray about. You now find that your heart, your mind is not aligning. Are you following what I'm saying here? Someone was telling me that she has a problem with worldly music. There's some music she wanted to listen to. And she's singing. I said, you know what, I'm going to tell you. Come. I think it was 97. I said, come. No, 95. I said, come. Tomorrow morning. Spend time and pray in tongues for 3 hours. And pick up that music again. She said she couldn't listen. Has that happened to you before? Normal things just become... It's almost like you came down from somewhere and you are going to the valley low. That's what prayer does to you. Is somebody following what I'm saying tonight? As they ministered to the Lord. In other words, what was on their heart during prayer was what was on God's heart. When a man is birthed and immersed in the place of prayer, he begins to talk what God wants. He knows that him getting his needs met in the material world is far below prayer. Am I making sense here? That it's far below prayer. All these things do the Gentiles seek after. He knows that that doesn't matter. It doesn't dominate him anymore. So he's now entangled with very much more eternal things. Things that have eternal consequences. Things that deal with things far beyond the natural. He begins to see things that he will engage in the place of prayer that the results he may not see until heaven. Then the man has learned prayer. Am I making any sense here? So tell some nitwits who are really clean prayer in the name of economic development. Tell them that that's not why we are praying. Hallelujah. We are not praying for economic development. There are nations that are well developed economically and they are atheists. Am I making any sense here? But when you find a praying nation, the lives of the people are changed. Why do we pray? We pray for our own lives to change, not for our pocket. Philippians 4:6. That prayer was for a church under persecution. Let me just quickly put that in perspective. He said, rejoice again, I say rejoice. Philippians 4:4. Let your moderation be known unto me. The word moderation there is not moderation like wearing trousers and all. No, moderation there means gentleness. For the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. Why was he saying that to them? Because they were a church under persecution. He said, but prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. See how he ended. He said, and what? And what? The peace of God that passes all human understanding. So who does that prayer change? It changes you. In the midst of the persecution, the peace of God that passes all human understanding will guard your heart and mind through Christ. The peace of God does not come by buying a car. The peace of God does not come by buying a jet. The peace of God comes only by the peace of God. And it guards your heart. It changes your perception. It changes how you conduct your life. It changes how you see things. It changes how you talk. It changes you. Did you hear what I'm saying here? Why do we pray? We pray for our own lives to change. When you leave World Changers Conference, everything will have changed. You hear what I'm saying? Your perception will change. There are things that have to drop away. Do you follow what I'm saying? It says the flesh is weak. Are you following what I'm saying? So there are things that will drop. There are some things that will drop. Say, I'm battling this one, it will just drop. Because that is what prayer does. So it changes you. The peace of God that passes all human understanding. Guard your heart and mind in Christ. In other words, as you pray, in the midst of the persecution, in the midst of the struggles, the things that, you know, I don't know about you, when you are in ministry, you have contending conflicts. Your mind is going here, it's going there. But why do we pray? So that we'll be focused. Hallelujah. So that we'll be focused. You'll be focused. You'll be focused. Guard your heart and mind. Prayer enables you. Here's Paul saying, if I pray with the Spirit, he said, my understanding is unfruitful, though my spirit prays. But I told you earlier in chapter 14, he that prays in the Spirit edifies who? Himself. Jude 20, build yourselves on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So prayer builds you. Prayer builds you. It's the very opposite of worrying. It's the very opposite of complaining. It's the very opposite of striving. In the place of prayer, strivings cease. Pray for me, I close. They cease. So though we are praying for nations of the world, brothers and sisters, as you pray, let the prayer change you. The prayer will change Botswana. It will change Africa. It will change Borno. It will change Bauchi. Are you following what I'm saying? It will change Yobe. But the prayer must also change me. Hallelujah. It must also change me. Let the power of prayer affect the person praying. Why do we pray? We pray to change. Pray lest you enter into temptation. Temptation to go astray. Temptation to travel out of Ogun State and go to Lagos, even though God told you to stay in Ogun State. Temptation to go to the United States of America, whereas you are supposed to be in Kaduna. Temptation to stay in Kaduna, whereas what you are supposed to do is go back to Lagos. Temptation to do this. Prayer prevents that. Prayer prevents you going into the wrong marital relationship. Prayer prevents you to taking decisions that will totally impede the call of God upon your life. As you pray tonight, as you pray tomorrow, as you pray, you will begin to see things drop off from your mind, and you begin to see things enter your heart in the name of Jesus. Why do we pray? We pray to change. You do hear what I'm saying? So as you tarry, things are coming out. You'll be tired. That's part of it. You go weak. Why? Because the prayer is changing you. Hallelujah. Your resolve to serve God will get stronger. The more tired you get in the natural, the more stronger you are. Are you following what I'm saying? You are stronger. You see your bed, you say, I'm not going. I want to sleep. How to do this? What is changing? You are changing. Hallelujah. You say, wow. And then you are there. You are there in the spirit. Fellowshipping. Being strengthened. Being enabled. At those hours and moments, and the Holy Ghost says, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work I have called them. In the midst of that pressure, you are enabled. What God gave you strengthened is clearer. Those moments of discouragement are over. Those moments of fooling around are done. The times you finish praying and things you wrote you were going to do in ministry, go and tear them. Am I following? Are you following what I'm saying? Say, no. Like we said in the song, I seek the giver and not his gifts. My heart desire is to lift him high above all earthly things. Are you there? When you get to this point, what drives men is not their needs. It's now what God wants. As we pray for saints, we pray for ministers, we set ourselves in the will of God for our lives. Why do we pray? We pray to change. We pray to drop off habits. We pray to align with God's will and purpose. We pray to be strengthened for the walk ahead. We pray to be enabled to face those tough times because they will come. We pray to handle unseen things that have been seen in the place of prayer. We pray to do things that we'll do tomorrow, we'll do them now. We pray to stay in the center of the will of God for our lives. I'm telling you, many of you here, there are things you are going to change when you leave. Nobody will tell you. Nobody will instruct you. Nobody will do any series for you. You will just know. As it is known in the
the place of prayer.
As you step out of the place of prayer, there's a change in the man. Your life begins to reflect the God you spoke to. Your thoughts begin to reflect that you were with someone for 24 hours. And you were not talking about yourself. How would he not rub off on you? You are not talking about, I want to travel. I want to marry. I want to have children. I want to buy a car. I want to do my business. That was not what you were talking about. Gentle unbelievers do that kind of prayer and they get answers. But prayer changes you. So as we step out this night, a different chariot, to pray for the nations of the world, starting from Nigeria, the states of Nigeria, and pray for Africa. I know that God will drop burdens in your heart for nations, for places, for people. I know He will change your priorities. I know that new things, some of you in ministry, pastors, your vision will be sharpened, will be enlarged. Some of you, whatever responsibilities or duties you do in the body of Christ, things will happen. Brothers and sisters, set yourself in alignment with God. I know, prayer takes effort. Jesus prayed and he was sweating, he was tired. He prayed and blood came out. It shows you what it's about. Are you following what I'm saying? I don't think Peter and John, I don't think they were lazy folks. But they were just folks who were yet to understand what prayer does. When you know what prayer does, you will not sleep. I'll close by sharing the story. Years ago when I went for a prayer meeting at the Yen Koriant, I felt the prayer was too long. I'd never in my life attended a prayer that would stretch the whole day to the second day. I'd done from retreats before, but we just pray 12 hours and 10 hours, and even in the middle of it, there would still be pa 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 pa. And we still stop in me. We sing some songs and pray. And we still pray for 4 hours. But this one, I just took my bag. I said, I will dodge and run out. They didn't tell me. Now, ask myself a question. I don't know whether you do that for yourself. I said, who is this to benefit? I said, it's me. I said, well, if I stay, who knows? This will change the life of many people. So let me stay. It's for my good. And that's why we are here tonight. Hallelujah. You don't know what it will do. It will change you, then eventually change others. Hallelujah. We have the spirit of grace and supplication. In the name of Jesus. To wait upon the Lord. To make supplications by the Spirit of God for the nations of the world, to receive burdens in the place of prayer, to change Africa, to change Europe, to change the whole of Nigeria. We have the Spirit of grace and supplication. The Spirit of God is working in us. He enables us, He strengthens us, He empowers us. Hallelujah. To pray. As we do this, our labors will not go in vain. How many of you have seen our prayers get results at World Changers Conference? Have you observed it over the years? Hallelujah. When you hear about things that we're doing around the world, people think it's just about going on the internet. I think they missed that. Hallelujah. It's not about going on the internet. It's not about free downloads. No, you can do free downloads and only your church members are downloading it. Even if it's by force. Praise God. But when you pray, you align yourself with the will of God. Are you following what I'm saying here? Let's pray. We have no other power. We have no other power. One time I was talking to God, I said, you know, if there was somebody else I could serve, I would serve Him. And that's the truth. But you are the only one I know. I don't know any other power but your own. So I'm going to depend on it. I don't know about you. That's my life. I'm going to depend on it. Whatever you will do, you will do it. And I trust you. I trust you to change the nations. I trust you to change Nigeria. Where it's not just about, some of you say, let's just contend for the faith. You can't contend for the faith by talking. You contend for the faith by prayer. Are you following what I'm saying? You go down on your knees. You will burn
the knees in prayer, just like Jesus.
Jesus was not praying for a wife. He was not praying for children. He was not praying for visa. He was not praying for healing. He was not praying for money. He was not praying for support. He was not praying for protection. He was not praying for all those things. But Jesus was praying. And that's what we're going to do tonight. Let's stand to our feet. Praise God. Father, we commit the next few hours to tomorrow. And we trust you to lead us in the place of prayer. To align ourselves with your will and purpose. To make power available. To change nations. To change cities. To change towns. To change ministries. To change pastors, evangelists, missionaries. To change Muslims, idol worshippers, Shintoists. To change our African religion followers and worshippers. But above all, Father, to change us. To change our ministries. To change our lives. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.